All right, can everyone hear me? Okay, I hope so. If not, that's all right. You guys can just watch me mouth words and read the slides. I think that'll probably be good. You know, it's funny how things work out. This is probably going to be my shortest sermon tonight that I've ever preached. I don't have that many slides for us tonight. And I'm a little more nervous tonight than I've been for about any other sermon, and I don't know why. But I kind of got some nerves going, so I'd appreciate your prayers for that. On a side note, before I get started, I will be drinking some water. I think it's my public speaking tick, so I apologize if I have to stop and take a drink of water every now and then. I'm going to share my screen. I have some slides for us tonight. I'm going to get started. I hope everyone will be able to see them. You know, I had something on my mind. Something that was, I wouldn't say troubling me, but something that just wouldn't go away. And when I was thinking about the sermon that I'd be preaching today for Phoenix specifically, I had a couple different things go through my mind. I'm also preaching at the temple a lot next Sunday, and it's a completely different message. But this message just wouldn't go away. And I want to talk about this tonight. I hope you follow along. If you have your scriptures, I'll have most of them up on the slides. But I'm just going to get right into this. This is Colossians 2:6. And it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." You know, what an amazing yet simple charge that is found in one verse. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Expanding that out to verses 6 through 8, start at 7. "Rooted up and built in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, this charge in these three verses, to walk in Christ, to stay grounded and rooted in Christ. This message is the basis of my sermon tonight, to stay grounded and rooted in Christ. This word established, as you see there in verse 7, it means to make firm or to make sure. You know, Paul and Timothy here, they're warning us what would happen should we move away from this foundation. They give us this warning in verse 8 of what to look out for. Let's keep this in mind as we go through these slides tonight. You know, Webster's 1828 dictionary, if you look up the word root, I think we can all have an understanding of this. But to be firmly fixed and to be established. To take root means to become planted or fixed or to be established or to increase and spread. But to take deep root, to be firmly planted or established, and to be deeply impressed. You know, a couple of years ago, we had a small tornado come through town. And as we were walking, as we were driving through town, and I was looking at some of the damage, there was a house on one of the main roads. Huge tree. Tornado had come through and taken that tree and flipped it, pulled it and flipped it completely on its side out of the ground. And here were all these roots sticking up and this gigantic hole. That tree had become planted and fixed in that ground. It had been established and it had increased and spread. But that tree was not deeply rooted. It was not firmly planted or established enough to weather the storm. To be firmly fixed and to be established. You know, how do we stay grounded and rooted in the foundation of Christ? Now, I hope that our faith, hope, and love is supported on that foundation. And why is it important? Well, we're going to get into some of that tonight. I don't know why this message has been on my heart so much, but it's an important concept to understand about being firmly planted and established on Christ and not moving away from that no matter what. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. It says, "In you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." You know, Christ provided us this opportunity for holiness, for being unblameable, for being unreprovable. But we have to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, in order to do that. Look at verses 21 and 22. That is the opportunity provided. There's a colon at the end of verse 22. Verse 23 explains it and tells you how to do it. Settled means steadfast. Steadfast. Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. You know, Paul echoes this message again in to the Corinthians. Next one is 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable," that should not be unlovable, "steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Okay, I get it. That's great. It's great to give you these verses. It's great to tell you to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works. But how do you do it? Well, before I get to that, one more thing. I'm going to quickly read Colossians 1, 1 through 6. Happy for you guys to follow along with me, please. Colossians 1, 1 through 6. This is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus is our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. So this is the introduction to the book of Colossians. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Why am I reading that? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. This is them echoing the same thing. It says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." You know, it's funny. Paul and Timothy are writing this letter to those who already have a faith, hope, and love in Christ. You're looking at those verses 1 through 6 in chapter 1. Verse 4. Yeah, they already heard of the love that they had in Christ. Verse 5, they already know of the hope that they have. You know, they are, Paul and Timothy, through these letters, writing to you and writing to me. Those who have, and I hope who have, a faith, hope, and a love in Christ. And you know, although Paul and Timothy recognize the steadfastness of their faith in Christ, they find it necessary to write about the importance of staying grounded and settled and rooted on that foundation of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, Do not move away from Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:4 says this, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." You know, this foreshadows the charge that's given in verse 8 that we already read, to beware of philosophies and vain deceits and traditions of men and principles of the world. If we go back to verse 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit and after those traditions." And in Colossians 2:4, it says, and he gives a warning right before this, "Lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Matthew Henry commentary on Colossians chapter 2. I like this commentary and I want to read it. It says, "The apostle cautions the Colossians against deceivers. He insists so much upon the perfection of Christ and the gospel revelation to preserve them from the ensnaring insinuations of those who would corrupt their principles. The way in which Satan spoils souls is by beguiling them. He deceives them, and by this means slays them." You know, the beguile, the word beguile, it means to deceive by charm or cunningness or craftiness. Couple that with what Paul and Timothy are warning those who have a faith, hope, and a love in Christ against those who would offer enticing words, against those who are presenting worldly philosophies and traditions and philosophies and thoughts. I bet if I can't see all of your faces, but I bet if I went through that audience there, we could each have a different example of something that we think or that we could identify as being a tradition of man, a philosophy, a deceit of man or the world, or something popular that we have faced or dealt with. And those may be enticing or cunning or crafty. Even something just a little off base of Christ. You know, something just a little bit farther away. You know, it's not, you know, to the extreme, but it's all right. You know, it's just something just a little farther. I bet we could all either think of that or have encountered that in our life. And I'm here to tell you right now, Paul and Timothy were telling them 2,000 years ago the same thing I'm telling you tonight. You have faith, you have a hope, and you have a love in Christ. Don't move away from it. Stay on Jesus Christ. Ether 5:4. It says, "Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God." And here we have the juxtaposition. Here in Ether, we have a description of a soul that is anchored in hope, sure and steadfast, where, as in Matthew Henry, as he described, Satan is working to spoil your soul. He's working to charm you away from the foundation of Christ. So, how can we keep our souls anchored in hope, sure and steadfast in Christ? Well, I'm not going to provide my own words for this. Paul and Timothy wrote it in the book, and we're going to look at it. And I'm just going to run down a quick list for these and a reference for each. This is not an exhaustive list. I'm sure that you can think of more. I added scriptures to each point to add a cross-reference and emphasize the action to take. So I'm going to go through my next slide here. This is Colossians 1, 9 through 12. I'm going to read this, and it looks like I have down to verse 14 there. I forgot to change it. And then I'm going to read one scripture from the Book of Mormon and show you the list. So this is actually Colossians 1, 9 through 14. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Omni, out of the Book of Mormon, Omni, which is one chapter, verses 46 through 47. "And now, my beloved brethren, I would that you should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and praying and endure to the end. And as the Lord liveth, you will be saved." So let's go through these. I made this list from those scriptures that we just read. And I want you, if you would please, I want you to think about these as we go through them. Think about examples in your life of things that maybe you are doing well now, or maybe things that you know that you need to improve on. I can recognize those in my life. So how do we remain grounded and settled? Number one, seek knowledge of the Lord's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Are you seeking the Lord's will in your life? It's a simple question, but it's a fair question. So I see all those in attendance. I'm asking you right now. I don't need a yes or no. I couldn't hear you if you said yes or no anyways. But are you seeking the Lord's will in your life? Do you want his wisdom and spiritual understanding to guide your lives every day in the decisions you make and the things that you do? I would love for someone to tell me how you can remain grounded and settled and rooted in Jesus Christ, but not seek after the Lord's will. Seek after the Lord's will. Seek that knowledge. Seek that wisdom and spiritual understanding, and he's going to give it to you. If you seek it, he will give it to you. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We are here to please the Lord, to do his will. We are charged to walk worthy of that calling. And coupled with that, number three, be fruitful in every good work. This is not just do good works. This is to bear fruit, to show your fruit through your good works. Number four, increase in the knowledge of God. You know, there's pretty simple ways to be doing that. To take time in prayer, to seek his will, to study your scriptures, to be present in church and to hear sermons, to attend studies, Sunday school lessons, times to get together, chats with your brothers and sisters, talks with people outside about the gospel. We're charged to increase in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with the might of the Lord. Who else would you want to be strengthened by? Do you think yourself is enough? I don't think so. Strengthen with the might of the Lord. Exercise all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, we can exercise patience and long-suffering, but are we doing it with joyfulness? And there's a difference. And that joyfulness is important. And that's the key, is to have that joy, that we know that the Lord is working in our lives for our spiritual well-being. If you are trusting in the Lord will work for your spiritual well-being. Number seven, give thanks unto the Father. Are you thanking the Lord for all the things that he's done for you, for your family, for the people around you, for his word, for his Son? Are you giving thanks? Are you offering your whole soul as an offering unto the Lord? Are you giving him everything? Continue in fasting and prayer. Is this something that you have exercised in your life? Have you thought about it? Have you made time for continuing and seeking the Lord through fasting and prayer? Do you make it a point to understand the necessity of humbling yourself and going before the Lord and asking him for those things that not only you stand in need, but what you can do, what he has for you in your life, how you can stay on that foundation? And finally, endure to the end. Endure to the end, those being Christ's words there in Matthew 24:13. If you go back to these two scriptures, Colossians 1:9-14, you'll go through and you'll see all of them listed here. So much as Paul and Timothy were writing to those with a faith, hope, and a love in Christ, I'm bringing the same message to you tonight. Those of you that are there have a faith, hope, and a love in Christ. You're here at church on a Sunday night. You have a faith, hope, and a love in Christ, and you want to be here. And these are the things that we can do in our lives. These are things we can take and work towards. I understand we are not perfect in every single one of these things. I get it. I'm not either. There's things that I go through here and I read, and I know that I need to do a better job in. You know, I love to go my own way. Colossians 2:10. I'm going to close with this scripture. Colossians 2:10. I don't have it on the chart or on the slides. I'm going to put these up here on the slides for everyone. Colossians 2:10. It says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." You are complete in Christ. I was talking about this earlier, and I said, complete in Christ. And here's how I think about completeness. You guys can laugh at me, but I like my food analogies, all right? I imagine a pie, let's say an apple pie, okay, a baked apple pie. Everyone in their mind can imagine this nice apple pie sitting in front of you, okay? It hasn't been cut into. It looks great. You want to scoop some up with some ice cream and eat it right away, but you don't. You see this pie, apple pie, and here it is. Complete. It's in the pan. No one's hasn't been touched. Hasn't been anything with this. I see that as whole, as complete. Here it is. A complete thing. You know what I want to do if I'm equating that to my spiritual life? If I think that I'm supposed to be complete in Christ, there's no room in there for anything else. There's no room in there for any of the things that Paul and Timothy were warning those people about. You know what I try to do in my life? I cut that up. I take a couple pieces out, and I like to put my own stuff in there. I like to think I can be complete by removing portions of those slices and putting my own self in there. And, oh, look, that's good. I got plenty of room for Christ, but, you know, there's some room for me too. It doesn't work like that. The scriptures tell us here we are complete in Jesus Christ. If you sitting there tonight are complete in Jesus Christ, what do you need of these philosophies and these traditions and these the rudiments of the world that it talks about in the scriptures in verse 8 that we read? What do you need? Where do you have room for that? We don't have room for that, and that's the point. You know, in verse 9 and 10, those are the two verses that immediately following where Paul and Timothy warn the Colossians about this. They said, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are completed in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Man, if you don't want to be complete in Christ, I don't know what you want. And I hope that's what you want. And I need to do a better job of it myself. I have to take myself out of the equation. I need to do the things that are on this list. This isn't some concept of me coming before you tonight and saying, stay rooted in Christ, be good, I'll see you later. Okay, I'm saying, look at these things, every single one of these. no matter what age we are, these are actionable. We can do these, each one of us. We can seek the knowledge of the Lord. We can ask for his will. We can exercise patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We can be strengthened with the might of the Lord. We can be fruitful in every good work. We can do every single one of these. So do you want to do it? Do you want to stay there? You know, this, like I said before, this isn't an exhaustive list. This isn't a complete list. But I hope that this list gives us some thoughts. Maybe one thing is sparked a thought and one thing in your mind that maybe you can continue to do well. Or maybe something that you know you need to do a little better for the motivation of staying and being rooted in Christ. Not for you, but do it because you love the Lord, you love Jesus Christ, and you want to reciprocate that love to him. And that's why you do it. That's why we do it. We do it because we love the Lord, and we love the sacrifice that his son made for us, and the way we show our love is by keeping his commandments. And by doing the things that we are supposed to do in this life out of love, do these things out of love for the Lord, with a concern for others. Like I said, this was one of my shortest sermons ever, if not my shortest sermon ever. I don't have any other scriptures or anything. I really appreciate the time. I am hoping that you guys could hear me all right and read all right, and I really am thankful for the opportunity to speak to you, and hopefully next time I get to do it in person. The one thing I do wish is that I didn't write down the salsa competition date quick enough, so if somebody could give me that, maybe I'll come down for some salsa. But other than that, I really appreciate your time, and thank you.